Amen. Take the word of God again, please. Turn with me to the book of Nehemiah chapter 9. Nehemiah chapter 9. We began this message last Wednesday night, and we were proceeding with it this morning. And God willing, we will conclude with it tonight, all in chapter 9, on the message entitled Principles for Powerful Prayer. Principles for Powerful Prayer. We'll read verses 1 through 3 again. Give you the introduction again. Go back and just tap things on the head that we've gone over, and then pick up right where we left off. Nehemiah chapter 9, been preaching through this book together, been a wonderful book. I'm enjoying the journey, and I believe the Lord has used it in the life and ministry of our church. I do not believe He's through using it yet. Chapter 9, verse 1, and the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting and with sackcloth and earth upon them. The seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. They stood up in their place and read in the book of the law of the Lord, their God, 1/4 part of the day. The other 1/4 part they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God. Principles for Powerful Prayer, part 3. Let's pray together, shall we? Our Father, we love You tonight. Thank You for Your goodness to us. Help us now, I pray. May the will of God be done. May You be honored and glorified in everything that's said and accomplished, we pray. May you forgive my sins. Help me to be a clean vessel for You to flow through. May Your will be done this evening in Jesus' name. Amen. As we've already mentioned twice now, what's going on in these chapters, in my opinion, chapters 8 and 9, is a spiritual revival. The wall has already been rebuilt. The people are now turning towards spiritual things. A revival is taking place in chapter 8 by the book. And in chapter 9, we're noticing this powerful prayer that is taking place. And we understand that revival is the need of our homes, it's the need of our churches, it's the need of our country, it's the need of our world, and it will not take place unless we have a return to chapter 8, which is the book, and chapter 9, which is powerful prayer. Now we're noticing some principles for powerful prayer. Let me just go back and tap on the head what's already been preached in the last two messages. Number one, powerful prayer involves repentance. We saw this in verse 1 through their humiliation, in verse number 2 through their separation, and verses 2 and 3 in their confession. Then we notice that powerful prayer involves reverence. This is brought out in verse number 3 where it says they worship the Lord their God. Then we began this morning showing how powerful prayer involves remembrance. This is brought out in verses 4 through 37. This morning we noticed how they were looking and remembering God's great goodness to them. There were 5 things that they remembered this morning, and we'll pick up with number 6. Let me just go back and tap this on the head. They remembered, first of all, His name in verses 5 and 10. Secondly, His uniqueness in verses 6 and 7. They identified Him and understood that He is God alone. Number 3, they remembered His faithfulness in verses 8 and 32. Number 4, they remembered His care in verse number 9. Number 5, and we concluded with this morning, they remembered His salvation in verses 10 and 11. Now we pick up our reading in verse number 12, and there's a 6th thing that they are reminding right here themselves of, and they are remembering about their God. They understand that God has been good to them. And may I stop and say, God's been pretty good to us too, folks. And as they're praying, they are remembering their God and His goodness to them. The 6th thing that they remember about their God is this: they remember His guidance. We see this in verses 12 and then verses 19 and 20. Look at it. Moreover, Thou leddest them in the day by a cloudy pillar, and in the night by a pillar of fire, to give them light in the way wherein they should go. Look at verse number 19. Yet Thou in Thy manifold mercies forsookest them not in the wilderness. The pillar of the cloud departed not from them by day to lead them in the way, in the pillar of fire by night to show them light and the way wherein they should go. Thou gavest also Thy good spirit to instruct them, and withheldest not Thy manna from their mouth, and gavest them water for their thirst. Now in these verses, these people are remembering how the Lord guided their ancestors with the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. You know, the Lord provided these things to show them, get it now, it says it twice here, the way that they should go. In other words, this goes along with his good spirit to instruct them in verse number 20. In other words, he gave them a cloudy pillar by day, a pillar of fire by night, and his good spirit all to show them and instruct them in the way that he wanted them to go. This goes to show that he provided what it took for them to know what they should do with their life. You know, in the same way, the Lord still guides his children today to show us the way we should go. You know, it's important to realize that the way he does this today is through his word, through his blessed spirit, and through his wonderful peace. Now, what I'm saying to you is just like they can remember how he guided them along the way and he was shedding light on, there's where I want you to go, stay away from there, here's where I want you to go. God still does the same for his children tonight, folks. He still guides his children along. The Bible says in Psalm 119:105, talking about the word of God, his peace and his spirit. Listen to this, Psalm 119:105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. That's a powerful verse. Let me show you what that means. It's a lamp unto my feet. In other words, it tells you where you're at now. But then it's a light unto my pathway. It tells you where you need to go. That's the word of God. Then the Bible goes on to tell us in John 16:13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Talking about the peace of God. Philippians 4:6-7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understandings, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Psalm 73:24. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. You know, God guides his children. You know what I'm glad of? I'm glad that once God saved me, he didn't drop me off somewhere. I'm glad he guides me by his word, by his spirit, and giving me the sense of his peace to shine on my pathway the way I should go. And these dear people, as they're praying, they're saying, God, we remember something else about you. And what we remember is how you led our fathers with the cloud by day, the pillar by night, and you gave us the Spirit to guide us and instruct us into truth. And I'm telling you what God did for the Israelites in the Old Testament, he's still doing for the church in the New Testament. He is guiding his children along, and they are remembering his guidance. Then there's a seventh thing they remember. And these are powerful, powerful prayers. I'm telling you, what a prayer this is in chapter 9. They remember number 7, his word. Look at verses 13 and 14 and notice the language. Now they're talking to God, but notice what they say. Thou camest down also upon Mount Sinai and spakest with them from heaven and gavest them right judgments and true laws, good statutes and commandments, and madest known unto them thy holy Sabbath and commandest them precepts, statutes, and laws by the hand of Moses thy servant. In these verses, we see these people remembering that the word of God was given to them on Mount Sinai. And notice how they identify God's word in verse 13, as being right, as being true, and as being good. They wanted to let the Lord know that they had not forgotten how he gave them and came down on Mount Sinai and wrote with his finger his own law, his own word, and they did not want to forget the word of God. We see right here in the same way, we need to remember and be thankful for the wonderful word of Almighty God. You know, he has breathed his word into existence. That is inspiration. But may I tell you that he has preserved his word to every generation. That is preservation. And I'm telling you, folks, that God has revealed his word to man. That's revelation. He breathed it out. That's inspiration. He preserves it to every generation. That's preservation. And when he speaks to your heart, that's illumination. He tells you what he's saying. Praise God for his word tonight. We want to be a church tonight that simply opens up the Bible and says, this is what God has said. If God says jump, our next question should be, how high, God? If God says don't do that, then we ought to say we're not going to do that. If he says do that, then we ought to say, when do you want me to start, Lord? I'm reporting for duty. I'm telling you tonight, they are remembering the word of God. They are praising God and saying, we remember something else about you, Lord. We remember your name. We remember your guidance. We remember your care. We remember your salvation. But there's something else we remember. We remember many years ago when you came down on Mount Sinai and you gave it to Moses and Moses gave it to us. And we don't ever forget how you gave us your word. Let me tell you something, folks. This book, and you heard me say it last week or maybe 2 weeks ago, all the weeks are running together for me. But you understand that this book is where it's found. We're not going to compromise on this book, folks. We are, listen, praise God, we hold God's word in our hands. This is the very God-breathed word. It is inspired by God. It has been revealed by God. It has been preserved by God. And we are to preach it. We are to love it. We are to memorize it. We are to dwell in it. We're to give it out. This is God's book. And as we pray, powerful prayer involves remembering how God has graciously provided his book to his children. Praise God for the word of God tonight. They're remembering God's book, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. They are remembering here. Powerful prayer involves remembrance. And they're remembering number 6 tonight. They are remembering God's guidance. They are remembering number 7, his word. But number 8, they are remembering his provision. We see this over and over and over again. If you're taking notes, you can write down verses 7 and 8, verses 12 and 13, verse 15, verse 20, verse 22, verse 24, verse 27, verses 35 and 36. Now, let me show you what I'm talking about. In these several verses, we see these dear people simply remembering how God had given to them over and over and over again. As a matter of fact, as we consider these verses, we see how the Lord had been so good to them, it was ridiculous. Now think with me here. These things are considered with the words give and gavest. If you do a word study on the word give and a word study on the word gavest, just in chapter 9, it's used 11 times. Now let's look at this together. First of all, in verse number 7, he gave Abraham a great name. Look at it. Thou art the Lord, the God who didst choose Abraham and broughtest him forth out of Ur the Chaldees. Here it is. And gavest him the name of Abraham. He gave Abraham a good name. Secondly, he gave the promised land in verses 8, 35, and 36. Look at verse number 8. And foundest his heart faithful before thee, and madest a covenant with him to give the land, there it is, give the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Girgashites, to give it, I say, to his seed, and hast performed thy words, for thou art righteous. Look at verses 35 and 36. For they have not served thee in their kingdom, and in thy great goodness that thou gavest them, and in the large and fat land which thou gavest before them, neither turned away from their wicked works. Behold, we are servants this day for the land that thou gavest unto our fathers to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. Behold, we are servants in it. We're looking at the 11 different verses that this word is used. Sometimes it's used more than once in that verse. But there's 11 different types of it's like 15 different verses in which it's used. But there's 11 different types of gifts that God's giving them throughout here under the word give or gave us. So we see he gave Abraham a great name. We see he gave them the promised land. We see in verse number 12, he gave them the guiding pillar. Verse number 12 says, moreover, thou leddest them in the day by a cloudy pillar and in the night by a pillar of fire. Look at it. To give them light in the way wherein they should go. In verse number 13, we've already read it. He gave them the word of God. Look at it. Thou camest down upon Mount Sinai and spakest with them from heaven and gavest them right judgments and true laws, good statutes and commandments. We see he gave them bread from heaven in verse number 15 and gavest them bread from heaven for their hunger. We see he gave them promises in verse number 15 where it says right here and brought us forth water for them out of the rock for their thirst and promised them that they should go into possess the land which thou hadst sworn to give them. He gave them promises. He gave them his good spirit to instruct them in verse number 20. He gave them water in verse number 20. He gave them victory in battle in verses 22 and 24. He gave them deliverance from enemies in verse 27. He gave them his great goodness in verse number 35. In all of this, folks, they are simply remembering how they would have none of these things had not God been faithful to provide for them. And in the same way, we can all look at the above list. We can look at the good name. We can look at the promised land, the guiding pillar, the word of God, bread from heaven, promises, his good spirit to instruct, water, victory, deliverance, great goodness. And folks, he's done the same 11 things for us tonight. I'm telling you, God has been wonderful in his provision for his children. He's taken care of us. He's taken care of you. And may I tell you that without him, nothing is given. Can I tell you that the book of James tells us that every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights. If it's good and if it's perfect, it came from God. Which means that we never need to forget. Never need to forget. I don't know if that's correct English, but who cares? We do not need to forget how God has provided for us down through the years. He's been good to us. He's been good to us. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. They're noticing his word tonight. They're remembering his provision tonight. They're remembering his guidance tonight. But then number 9, they remember his grace and his mercy. We see this in verses 17 to 19, then in verses 27 to 31. Let's read it here. Look at it together. Look at verse 17. Now, understand that all the way down through verse 15, they're talking about his goodness. Yet in verse number 16, look at it. But they and our fathers dealt proudly, hardened their necks, hearkened not to thy commandments, refused to obey, neither were mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them, but hardened their necks, and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage. But thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and forsookest them not. Yea, when they had made them a molten calf and said, this is thy God that broughtest thee up out of Egypt and had wrought great provocations, yet thou and thy manifold mercies forsookest them not in the wilderness. The pillar of the cloud departed not from them by day to lead them in the way, neither the pillar of fire by night to show them light and the way wherein they should go. Look at verses 27 and following. Therefore thou deliverest them into the hand of their enemies, who vexed them, and in the time of their trouble, when they cried unto thee, thou heardest them from heaven. And according to thy manifold mercies, thou gavest them saviors, who saved them out of the hand of their enemies. But after they had rest, they did evil again. There's the cycle of sin that I talked about this morning. They did evil again before thee, therefore leftest thou them in the hand of their enemies. So they had the dominion over them. Yet when they returned and cried unto thee, thou heardest them from heaven. And many times didst thou deliver them according to thy mercies, and testifies against them, and thou mightest bring them again unto thy law. Yet they dealt proudly and hearkened not unto thy commandments, but sinned against thy judgments. If a man do, he shall live in them. And withdrew the shoulder and hardened their neck and would not hear. Yet many years didst thou forbear them. That's a beautiful word right there, forbear. And testifies against them by thy spirit and thy prophets. Yet would they not give ear, therefore gavest thou them into the hand of the people of the lands. Nevertheless, for thy great mercy's sake, thou didst not utterly consume them, nor forsake them, for thou art a gracious and merciful God. That's powerful praying right there, folks. I don't care what you say. That's powerful praying. And what they're remembering, here's what they're saying. They're saying, God, now keep in mind everything they've remembered up to verse number 15. I'm talking about seven or eight things here that they have already remembered about God. His name, let's just go back over them here just a moment. They remember his name here. They remember his uniqueness, his faithfulness. They remember his care, his salvation, his guidance, his word, his provision. And yet after all of that that he had done for them, they say we remember what our fathers did. After they had all of that, they hardened their neck. They refused to obey your law. But then they said, even though they sinned against you, you're a God of grace. You're a God of mercy. Yeah. And every time they turned back to you, because of your manifold mercies, you did not utterly consume them. And he said, you saved them. That's not a picture of our salvation. That's just a picture of when they're in bondage, he delivers them and gives them victory. And he said, yet after you did that, they fell right back into sin again. And they kept sinning and kept sinning and kept sinning. So you gave them into their enemy's hands so you might bring them back to yourself. And yet every time when they sin, when they turn back to you and they said, God, deliver me. He said, in your manifold mercies, you sent them saviors. And he said, because of your mercy and your grace, you delivered them every time they called on you. And they go on and say, but they sinned again and sinned again and sinned again. And yet through all of that, you did not utterly consume them. And they closed that thought with saying, because you're a God of grace and you're a God of mercy. I'm going to tell you something. If that doesn't give something inside of you, go, man, that's good right there. There's something wrong. We serve a God of grace, folks. We serve a God of mercy. I'm telling you that they are remembering how gracious and merciful the Lord had been to them. They wanted the Lord to know that they were mindful of his multiplied goodness to them in not forsaking them and delivering them and hearing them and forbearing them and not utterly consuming them. Keep in mind, this was even when they were forsaking him, he was not forsaking them. In the same way, let us all remember that the Lord has been merciful. You know what the word mercy means? It means not to give what one deserves. In other words, we're not going to hell because of God's mercy. We deserve hell. But his mercy withholds that from a child of God. Yet his grace is giving what one does not deserve. May I tell something to you here? If God was to forgive us, that would be good enough, wouldn't it? Listen, if he was to forgive us so that when we die, that was it, and we don't have to go to hell, we still ought to shout his praises for all eternity. That's mercy. Let me tell you what grace is. He not only has mercy to withhold heaven. He says, if you'll come to my son, I'll only withhold hell. I'll give you heaven for all eternity. That's grace. I'm saying here God is. We have offended a holy God. And by his mercy, he says, if you come to his son Jesus Christ, he will forgive you. You will not go to hell. That's mercy. But you will go to heaven. That's grace. And then he says, I'll give you myself. Let me tell you something. You can't beat that. You can't beat that. You know, when you really get a good dose of God's mercy and grace, you would beg to do something for God. There's a number of Christians all over the nation that all they do is come and sit, and never serve. Do you understand? If you really understand what God has done for you, we would be standing in line begging him for something to do for him. Has he been good to you tonight? Has he? Has he shown you his mercy? Has he given you his grace? Hey, my wife and I were flipping through our 6 or 7 channels that we get at home. And as we were flipping through, it was like a special on a space or something like that. They were showing an astronaut just floating in space out there. And it was looking down at the earth, just showing a picture of the earth. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Amazing. All of a sudden that astronaut was starting to say things like this. It's amazing what man can do now. And the inventions that man has to allow us to see things like this. It's amazing about the evolutionary process and what it's come to. And I about gagged right there. Can you imagine an astronaut floating in space looking down at that and say, that just evolved? Are you listening to me? But I've started to think just a little bit. You look down and the earth is hanging on nothing, just like the Bible says. And even the astronaut says, the earth that looks so big to us, it's just sitting out here in such a vast, large space. Somewhere
above it all is heaven. And someday, we gonna see it. You know what that is? That's grace. That's grace, folks. You know what these people are saying when they're praying? They're saying, God, we're making no excuses. Our fathers did sin. They turned against you, and we even turn against you. But through your goodness, we see just how gracious you are and how merciful you have been to us. You know, we ought to stop right there and shout for 5 minutes. Honestly. God's been good to us. Think about His mercy in your life. Think about His grace in your life. You ever try to think about heaven? This is not my notes, can you tell? But you ever try to think about heaven? You ever try to think about seeing the Lord for the first time? Honestly, have you ever tried to do that? I've tried, I'll be honest with you. I have tried to imagine, Brother Nathan, I've tried to imagine what the Lord must look like. I've tried to imagine what heaven must look like. And my mind goes so far and it can't go any further. You ever been there? You understand what I'm saying? I'm telling you, for a child of God, there's something inside of you when you start thinking about heaven that just makes you think, I want to go. I want to go. And the fact is, I am going, not by my works, but by His mercy and by His grace. Praise God for the grace of God. I'm having a good time preaching tonight. I'm just dwelling tonight on the grace and mercy of God. Listen, you can't get any bigger than God. How do you preach against, how do you preach about anything bigger than God? This powerful prayer, all they're remembering is God. They're saying, God, there's just so many things to remember about. I just want to rehearse to you. I know you already know this, God, but I want you to know that I haven't forgotten some things. You've been gracious to me. You've been merciful to me. The Word of God tells us right here in Psalm 100 verse 5, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10 says, For by the grace of God I am what I am. Psalm 136, Brother Bob was reading in staff devotions this week. We take turns reading. And he read this chapter, just talking about the mercy of God. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endure forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for His mercy endure forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endure forever. To Him who alone doeth great wonders, for His mercy endure forever. Him that by wisdom made the heavens, for His mercy endure forever. You know, sometimes it's not hard to find the key center of a chapter, folks. What's this chapter talking about? Him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that made great lights, for His mercy endureth forever. I'm talking about the sun to rule by day, for His mercy endureth forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for His mercy endureth forever. And brought out Israel from among them, for His mercy endureth forever. With a strong hand, with a stretched out arm, for His mercy endureth forever. Him which divided the Red Sea into parts, for His mercy endureth forever. Made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for His mercy endureth forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for His mercy endureth forever. Him which led His people through the wilderness, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him which smote great kings, for His mercy endureth forever. And slew famous kings, for His mercy endureth forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for His mercy endureth forever. And Og, the king of Bashan, for His mercy endureth forever. And gave their land for inheritance, for His mercy endureth forever. Even inheritance unto Israel, for His servant, for His mercy endureth forever. Who remembered us in our low estate, for His mercy endureth forever. And hath redeemed us from our enemies, for His mercy endureth forever. Who giveth food to all flesh, for His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for His mercy endureth forever. Any questions? I'm saying God's mercy is wonderful. His grace is amazing. And powerful prayer remembers the mercy and grace of God. Powerful prayer involves remembrance. That's the third thing. Then there's a fourth thing about powerful prayer brought out in our text in verse number 38. And that is, powerful prayer involves resolve. We see this in verse 38. And because of all this, what they've just previously mentioned, we make a sure covenant and write it. And our princes, Levites, and priests seal unto it. Now, what are they talking about? At the conclusion of this prayer, these dear people, listen, they have repented. They have revered the Lord. They've respected Him. They have remembered His goodness in their life. And because of all of that, now they do something that all of us can learn from. They're still talking to God. They're still praying here. They simply make a covenant with the Lord. And in that covenant, what they're saying is that we are resolved to keep your commandments, God. They are devoting themselves to His service. They are resolved to do a better job of obeying the orders of the Lord in their lives. This goes to show that as they heard and understood the book, and as they prayed, the Lord worked in their hearts to do something with their lives in obedience to His will. You know, in the same way, powerful prayer involves repentance. When God's book sheds its light on you and says, there's where you need to change, then in humiliation and separation from the world and confession before God, we ought to get it right. Through it all, powerful prayer involves reverence, worshiping the Lord, realizing He is God. Powerful prayer involves remembrance, remembering His name and all these 9 or 10 things that we brought out. But really, when push comes to shove, powerful prayer also involves this point right here. It involves commitment. Don't let that word scare you. Do you understand that you are committed to somebody anyway? Do you understand that? You are committed. It may be to sports. It may be to your marriage. It may be to yourself. It may be to the mirror. You're committed. And there's only one worthy of commitment, and it is God. And they're saying, we remember all this about You, God. And because You're working in our hearts, we're making a sure covenant. We are writing it down. And we're going to take our Levites and our princes and our priests, and they're going to seal it for us. They are resolved to serve God with their life. That is powerful praying. And I wonder tonight, have you made the same resolve? Have you seen the Lord high and lifted up in your life? Have you remembered His name, His care, His grace, His mercy, His salvation? Have you remembered His faithfulness, His provision? Are you respecting Him and worshiping Him in your prayer closet? Are you repenting when He tells you where you're wrong? And have you made the commitment in your life saying, God, here's my commitment. I sign my name to it. God, You fill it out. That's resolve. Sign your name to the dotted line and let God fill the rest out. Question I close. Why were they so strong in their resolve? Why do they have no problem committing? Why do they have no problem saying, oh, by the way, we want to make sure all of our leaders seal to this too? Why did they do that? Let me tell you why. Because they got a fresh glimpse of their God. Amen. And that's what we all need tonight. Amen. Amen. Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Our Father, we love You tonight. Thank You for Your goodness to us. What powerful praying this is in Nehemiah chapter 9. Powerful prayer. And these principles are so amazing. Help us to include them in our own prayer life. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. They're beginning to play through softly as soon as they get prepared here. I wonder tonight, are you in the family of God? Can you pray to God? I'm talking about as His child. Do you know the Lord as your Savior? If there's somebody here tonight and you do not know Jesus as your Savior, I want to invite you in just a moment to come to this altar. Let us take a Bible and share with you how you can know the Lord. Maybe tonight you're a Christian and I want to ask you this question. How's your prayer life? How's your prayer life compared to Nehemiah chapter 9? Now you're not to compare yourself to others, but you understand when it helps you, you can do that. When you compare your prayer life to Nehemiah chapter 9, how's your prayer life doing? Is your prayer life involving repentance? Is it involving reverence for the Lord? Is it involving remembrance about what the Lord's done in your life? And is it involving resolve where you're saying, God, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. Wherever you want me to go, I'll go. If you want me to take that, I'll take it. If you want me to go there, I'll go there. I'm resolved to do what's right. Powerful prayer. May the Lord use it. God may be dealing with you. In just a moment, I'm going to have you respond. Let's all stand together, please, shall we? Our Father, take the message, use it in a mighty, mighty, mighty way. Help us, I pray, to involve repentance, reverence, remembrance, resolve in our prayer lives. Help us to have powerful prayer lives, I pray. Bless us now, I pray. In Jesus' name, in just a moment, Brother Gary's going to begin to sing on my cue. May I tell you that any person, if you're a child of God, can pray. A child can pray, a lady can pray, a man can pray. Let me talk to the men just a moment. Men, the prayer life in your home, God's holding you responsible for it. Maybe some of you men need to grab your wife by the hand and say, honey, let's go pray and let's beg God to give us powerful prayer life. Some of you men need to grab your children, your families, and come and say, let's beg God to give us a powerful prayer altar at our home. And let's pray and ask God to help us. However God's dealing with you, maybe a child that wants to come and pray, maybe a wife or a single mother or a husband or a family, whatever, you say, Jody, I need this. My prayer life needs to take a step in the right direction. God is speaking to me. If that's you, as Brother Gary sings, would you come? As he sings, please step out now. Come on now, folks. Men, grab your wife. Grab your family. Bring them to the barrel. Let's start it here.
I have decided to follow.
Play through softly. Several men have come. Maybe there's others that want to come. You say, Jody, do I have to do this? No, you don't have to do this. No, this is not something that you feel pressure to do. Maybe there's a man, maybe there's a gentleman, maybe there's a wife, maybe there's a mother, a broken-hearted mother, a broken-hearted husband, maybe a dad that has a son that's wayward or a child that's wayward. Let me tell you what the answer is, folks. The answer is God, period. Need to get a hold of the Lord. As Brother Gary sings the next verse, maybe God is dealing with you. Why don't you come? Several have responded. Why don't you men take the lead? Step out. If you ladies are waiting on your husband, that man, and he's not moving, you move. Come on. Let's talk to God about it. Powerful prayer as he sings it. Come on now, please. Come on.
The cross before me. The world behind
I will follow.
playing through softly. Folks are still praying. They're taking their time. They're still standing. I'd like you to look this way. One of the burdens on my heart is that our church will turn it a notch up in the prayer closet. That's a burden in my heart. I'm going to tell you something. I can reveal the Nehemiah wall of soul winning all day long until my face is blue. But unless prayers are going upward, there'll be no fire falling downward. Let me tell you what, folks, whether you understand this or not, or even whether I understand it or not, God wants to reach the world a whole lot more than I do. God's put in my heart such a desire to reach the world. In my own heart, God, how God's heart must be broken. Can you imagine how he looks down and sees all these billions of people wandering aimlessly? I'm cut right here. How little time I spend in the prayer closet praying for laborers going to the harvest. Some of you are carrying great burdens. I don't care what it is. God is bigger. I don't care what it is. God's bigger. God's been good to us. I ask God this week, help me be a preacher that preaches with a tear in his eye. It's real tonight, folks. I want to be a preacher. God squeezes my heart and it comes out my eyeballs. We've got a special church here, folks. There's people praying. I'm giving them time. But I sense in my heart that God wants to do big things. He wants to do huge things. Unto him who's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think. I've walked around this property in the past thinking about things that God's putting in my heart. Seeing things. And that verse keeps popping in my mind as I'm looking out seeing things. And he keeps bringing that verse to my mind. Unto him who's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think. That's God. That's the Lord. Amen. Powerful prayer. Powerful prayer. I need it. If you'll be honest, you need it too, don't you? Let's sing this last verse together, Brother Gary. This will be our closing prayer. And remind the first-time guest, if that's you, to take your visitor's card out and put it on the welcome center. I'll be up here just for a moment. We'll sing this together and you can be dismissed. Try to bring somebody with you Wednesday night. Brother Scotty Carey is going to be preaching for us Wednesday night. God bless him. We're excited about this. And let's pray that God will help us. Let's sing this verse together. What verse is it, Brother Gary?
It's in the first. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided.
Be in the prayer closet this week. Be in the book this week. Bring somebody with you. God bless you. You're dismissed. Please talk to each other as you walk out. Greet each other as you leave the service tonight.